landmines on the road that even takes out the Hummer and flips it. Lost his leg. And you're talking to him. Are you going to say, well, at least you didn't lose the other leg? Oh, there's guys who've lost more limbs than you. Right? No. I hope not. Although, guys, you're likely to say that, because us guys say some really interesting things in scenarios like that. What about if he's a Christian? Is what you say to him going to be different? Maybe, but you're still not going to say those things, right? Thank you. What am I getting at? Well, first let me confess that I am not the person to, from my own practice, say, look at my life, this is what it looks like to be gentle and compassionate. I'm a work in progress. That's one area that needs progress. And I actually particularly lock up when it comes to medical stuff, although actually I don't anymore, except when it's my own family. And then I kind of lock up, and I don't know what to say or do. But we, you know, we get in certain situations and we get like funky in terms of what we might say or do. And I am not the best at it. But what it says here in Romans chapter 15 is rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Now, before I go any further on that instruction, briefly, here's the context. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, this is to Christians, by the mercies of God. These instructions that come in chapter 12 and later in Romans are for those who know the mercies of God. If we go all the way back to Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, no one is righteous, no one seeks God, no one is worthy, and no one has an excuse. We all deserve the wrath, the just punishment of God. But through faith in Jesus, we have the free gift of life. We know the mercies of God. We know, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, right, comfort and love from Christ. So these instructions are for Christians, those who know that. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I'm going to work backwards. I'm going to start with the weep. Notice it says weep with those who weep. It doesn't say lecture them. It doesn't say tell them about other people who have it worse or how you could have it worse, but weep with them. You acknowledge that they are facing something that has made them sad. They're mourning. They're weeping. This fits well with look what we've been looking at with going through trials and difficulties and suffering, and that being God's will, and us to have faith in the midst of trials and courage because our faith is in Christ. Our living hope is Christ. But that doesn't mean that trials aren't difficult or painful. Whether it's literally the loss of a leg or physical problems or family issues or the burning down of houses, they're difficult. And our call, and we are able to do this as Christians, is simply to weep with those who weep. To acknowledge that it's difficult. Now please, don't try and rewind and rethink everything you've said to me or my wife in the past year. But I confess that the past year has been eye-opening on that issue, on that topic. And people have said some very interesting things to us. But let me give you a positive example. Actually, one of the nicest things that anyone said to me. Standing in my kitchen of the house we're in now, a house that's nicer than the house we had before the fire. It's a wonderful house. The heat works. My family's there. We get a place to live. This is all wonderful. We're in this house. It's decorated in a very unified fashion. It looks staged. Wonderful. It is. And we're in that house. And there's a discussion going on. There's a husband and wife. And then my wife and I were there. And we're talking about things related to the rebuild. And choices related to the rebuild. Getting a brand new house built for us. More solid than the house we had before. Better layout. Wonderful. This is all good. And the man, this is probably why it took me back so much, right? The man says to me, as we're talking about this, he said, "Oh, man, you had to get this house and you get situated here and after your house burned down and now you're got to make these decisions and deal with this rebuild. That's got to be hard." I almost didn't know what to say next. Because usually what comes after those observations are, "Man, you get a new start. Oh, you get to get all new things. Isn't this great? You get a new house. Some people don't even have a house." And no acknowledgement of the fact that what we're going through was hard. And it was such a lesson to me. To me on how to weep with those who weep. You acknowledge that, "Man, that's hard. I'm sorry." And this lines up with the counsel I've heard over and again from pastors over the years, especially with hospital visits, the thing that used to make me freeze up. I didn't know what to do. People, right? Or people who are facing things with their children or relational stuff, and it's just happened, and it's all broken loose and fallen apart, and you go to visit with them, and what do you say? Nothing, really. You don't need to say much. You weep with them. "I'm sorry. That's hard. This must be difficult." And that's it. That's it. You don't need to tell them that other people have it harder. That it could be worse. At that point in time, you don't need to remind them of what they should be thankful for. There's scripture that exhorts us to make our requests known with thankfulness. And if it's a Christian, there's a time and place for making sure that you encourage them to look to Christ, where things are above, not below, not circumstances. But in the moment, you weep with them. Just as Jesus wept when when Mary and Martha wept because Lazarus had died. And Jesus was going to raise him to life again. As a guy, I'm thinking, this is really inefficient. What's the point? Why cry? You're going to raise them. Because there was weeping going on. There was heartbreak and loss. And so you weep with them. As Christians, we can do that. We should be the best at that. At compassion and gentleness. And it's nowhere else. I know at work, some of you guys face some really lack of compassion and empathy, let alone sympathy, or sympathy, let alone empathy. But we as Christians are called to weep with those who weep. And don't add words in there. Lecture them, remind them, give them a sermon, throw a verse at them. Tell them about all the kids in the world who have no food. No, you weep with them. What comes before that? Rejoice with those who rejoice. I think the temptation for Christians is when someone's rejoicing over something that's just of this life, finite, we tend to not rejoice with them because it's not Christ we're talking about. It's not heaven. It's not eternity. And yet, do not all good things come from the Lord? Whether it be a sunset someone's enjoying, the creatures of God's hands that someone's enjoying, or the things that God enabled man to build or accomplish. We tend to do it with little kids, right? Little kids come in and go, "I just got to play with my Etch-a-Sketch. Look what I drew." Do you even know what an Etch-a-Sketch is? Do you know what an Etch-a-Sketch is, Matthew? You do! Wow. Right? It's a toy. You get to draw with it, and it doesn't last. You shake it, and it goes away. A little kid comes to you, and they're so excited about what they drew with their Etch-a-Sketch. Do you say, "Oh, yeah, but you know, in eternity, it won't matter. It's all going to burn"? My wife's looking at me like, "I've heard that before." Yeah, I've said that. Maybe not to a really little kid about an Etch-a-Sketch, but it come pretty close. That's really insensitive. And I've done it. Right? No, what do you do with the little kid? You rejoice with them. Well, what age do we stop doing that when someone comes to us or someone around us is rejoicing over something in life that isn't Christ? Not that they're not rejoicing in Christ also, or maybe they're not even a Christian, but there's something in their life they're thankful for. Do we join them in, or are we, humbug, it's all going to burn. Eternity is what matters. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. These are instructions for Christians. I know that right now our opportunity is to weep with those who are weeping. Even just people here in Santa Rosa who, they can barely function because of their house burning down and the smoke just about sends them off the deep end. And I went through that, and I want to go. Well, I don't even want to tell you what I want to say, right? Because it's insensitive. It's not weeping with those who weep. Seize those opportunities, not just with the little kids. With believers, with unbelievers. Simple instruction. Application. This is the whole end of Romans, is application, right? What to do. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. You don't need to lecture. You don't need to fix things. You don't need to pull out comparisons. Join them in their emotion as much as you're able because of whatever is at hand. Never losing sight of the mercies of God. No, the mercies of God enable us to do this. Because we as Christians, of all people, should be the most compassionate and sympathetic. And saying that, I again have to confess, I am not the poster boy for that, though I hope to be before I die. And if not when I die, I know I will be, because I'm a work in progress. That work will be perfected. I confess, I'm apt to say, I'll throw some dirt on it and move on. Blame it on the fact that I'm a guy or how I grew up, doesn't matter. Here it is in Scripture. The instruction and 12 chapters of why I can do that. Especially chapter 8. Anyone out here really know Romans well? What's chapter 8? I know you know, Mike. He's biting his lip because he wants to answer. And I always tell him, you're not allowed to answer anymore, young man. Let the other children have a chance. What is it, Mike? What is Romans 8? That, yes, that's right. And before that, God's love in us by the Holy Spirit. We can live by the Spirit, not by the flesh, and secure ourselves in God's love. You need that. We don't function well out of insecurity. That's when we're mean and ornery and we bite and devour one another and we have no patience or grace for one another. But when we're secure, there's nothing, you know. And then not only are we secure in His love, but God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. He enables us to do this. Embrace those two commands, and I am preaching to myself. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. It's that simple. Simply said, more challenging to live out. But we can do all things that are in God's will. Right? Anything, the fruit of the Spirit, that's possible because of the Spirit in us. Let's pray. Father, You know full well that we are works in progress, that I am a work in progress. Progress us. Transform us, Father. That You would be pleased. That we would reflect Your goodness, Your mercy, Your kindness, and Your grace. That we would be more Christ-like every day. And that would be a blessing and an encouragement to one another here in the church and beyond. Father, I pray for your mercies to be ever on our mind. The depth and the security of your love ever on our hearts. That we would respond in ways to unbelievers and in front of unbelievers that is only explainable by your grace through Christ and the presence of your Spirit. Thank you for these brothers and sisters here, Father, for their patience with me, my rough edges. May we, in these commands and in every way, bear with one another and help sand each other and spur one another on to love and good deeds, that you would be glorified, and that more would come to join in giving you glory. In Jesus' name.